Greg Braxton also watches TV closely, and while he looks forward to the fall television season, he's written about a trend he finds curious. Black actresses cast as the white star's best friend. Greg Braxton is a staff writer for the Los Angeles Times. He joins us today from the Marketplace Studios in Los Angeles. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you for having me.
And could you give us some examples of what you're talking about?
Well, it's something that I've noticed both in television and in film, that black actresses seem increasingly to be relegated to this role of being the best friend of the white heroine, the one that's going to give them advice and be sort of sassy and warn them about hooking up with that guy or taking that job or anything that's going to put the white heroine in jeopardy. What I think is very distinctive about this is that you very rarely see the reverse, that you see black actresses taking the lead role in a lot of television and in a lot of films. In fact, I noticed that not one black actress has a leading role on any of the series on the four major networks this season. And I think it's a rather distressing trend, particularly coming 5 years after Halle Berry won Best Actress Oscar for Monsters Ball. That was supposed to open up some opportunities and really, I think, open the doors for black actresses. And that really hasn't come about.
Well, here's a clip from a show called The New Adventures of Old Christine, which stars Julia Louis-Dreyfus, where her best friend, played by Wanda Sykes, describes Christine going gaga over a character played by Blair Underwood.
No, it was really bad. You called him black? You called me black? And then I think you just went off black, black, black.
Okay. Okay.
You had a black attack.
And Greg Braxton, you detect a certain similarity in a lot of these characters.
Yeah, you can just see that basically all of these characters, for one, are very, very attractive, very beautiful. They don't seem to have much of a life of their own outside of helping their friend. They're always available for that Jeopardy, you know, in Jeopardy conference, or always available for a meal. And they sort of pop in and pop out and are really not part of the central action.
Well, in your piece, you wrote that this phenomenon is a winking in-joke among blacks in the industry, and that one African-American actress made a joke about forming a support group for characters who had to help out their woefully helpless white girls.
Right. I think that it's sort of like the horror movie when you see a group of people walk into a haunted house, and if you see a black person, a black guy, you know, he's the one that's going to be the first to die. I think that it is sort of an in-joke, but it is also a very distressing phenomenon. I think a lot of black actresses are finding that the doors have not opened the way that they hope they would, and that they are relegated to this role.
Well, here's a question for our listeners. Is this tokenism or is this diversity? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org, so we'd get some callers from our listeners. And you mentioned a series in your article, Is Barb a Black Best Friend? Why?
Is Barb a Black Best Friend?
Yeah.
Barb in what sense? In which show?
You're talking about you're talking about some of the characters who play these black best friends, BBFs,
right,
as you call them, not BFFs, and
right.
I think she's one of them.
Yeah, I think that she is, and once again, I think that you would like to see a fuller dimension if there were a partnership between these two characters, between the white heroine and Barb, then and Barb was more visible on the show, then you would see that there is kind of she would be just the best friend. She would be more of a partner with her, with
and
the lead character.
It's not a phenomenon that's limited to black actresses, black actors. This has happened too. And I guess, indeed, even going back to I Spy with Bill Cosby, that, of course, at that time was seen as a breakthrough.
Absolutely. I think you do see it. But the difference between black actors and black actresses, when you see this between men, the dynamic is different. The dynamic is more equal as it was on I Spy.
Mm-hmm.
I think the dynamic between Robert Culp and Bill Cosby was equal. Or the black man is the dominant one, and the white character is the less dominant one. So I just think you see more of a diversity and equality in the male relationships, but that definitely doesn't exist in the female realm.
We're talking with Greg Braxton, a reporter for the Los Angeles Times, staff writer there, about a phenomenon he's noticed he calls a black best friends. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get a caller on the line. This is Daryl. Daryl with us from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hey, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that I tend to disagree with the speaker. I do think that this whatever you call it, I think that this trend is also pretty much equal with men as well. And I also think in addition to sort of being just a best friend, I think often in movies as well as in television, blacks tend to serve as a sort of moral and spiritual sort of compass, you know, for white guilt, for white fault. Black people tend to sort of redeem them. I mean, I think it's prevalent with men as well. When you look at movies like Driving Miss Daisy, when you look at, I think the movie was called The Green Mile or something like that, you know, where, you know, a torment white soul is always, you know, ultimately relying on, you know, a black person's sort of spirituality and moral authority.
Well, to be fair, Greg Braxton did write about that, about the special authority that black characters seem to bring to a lot of these roles.
And I also think that because these black characters bring that kind of authority to a role, there's a danger of them falling into another type of stereotype of being the all-knowing, all-seeing sort of sage without having any other personality, without any other dimensions to them. It's just really a very limited sort of characterization of what they can do. You don't see other aspects of these characters' lives. You don't see them interacting, or you don't see them being the central focus of these projects.
And can I just say one last thing?
Go ahead, please.
Well, I think that I think that the commentator is exactly right, and I think what it does hide is actually black sexuality.
Huh.
You know, we have this sort of asexual, sexualless black person, and it hides black sexuality from the screen.
Huh. Greg Braxton, what do you think?
That's a really good point. Very seldom do you see black couples as the central focus of television and movies. This new HBO show, Tell Me You Love Me, has three couples in various marital woes and experiencing difficulties, and not one of the couples is of color. And I thought, gosh, that would have really been interesting if the producer had at least found one couple that shows that, yes, black people have sex, people of color have sex, they have relationship problems just like everybody else. Just sort of switch it up a bit and just display the diversity that's in society. There's so much interaction among races in society that you just don't see a lot in popular culture. And I think it's really a distressing trend.
Daryl, thanks very much for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can get Naja. Naja is on the... Am I pronouncing that correctly?
You are.
Oh, calling from Cleveland. Go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to say that I find that the best friend character is often basically the mammy character from the 20s, 30s, and 40s. The only thing is she's lost some weight and taken off the headscarf. But truly, she's the caretaker of her white mistress. And as an actress, a writer, and a director, I find it distressing that my roles are often limited based on this. You know, we get to be the comic relief and everything, but the characters, like you expressed earlier, aren't fully fleshed out. But I just wanted to hear what you thought about that.
Wanda Sykes equal Hattie McDaniel?
I mean, essentially, her job is to, you know, offer moral sage advice to her white counterpart.
Well, let's get a response from Greg Braxton.
I think that that's a very good point. I think it's a very viable observation. The mammy character was more or less in the employ of the white characters in a lot of those old movies that you mentioned. But, you know, instead of being in the employ, they're sort of unofficial employees of the white heroine where, you know, there's a friendship bond that's supposed to be there, but you don't really see the friendship. All you see is the black character helping out the white heroine and telling her what not to do, and girlfriend, you gotta dump that man, and he's not gonna be good for you, and you know, you gotta switch it up, and don't take that job, girl. And it brings a little sass, a little flavor, a little humor to the situation, but you really don't see a whole lot of dimension there. So I think that the mammy analogy is a very good one.
Nausha, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Greg Braxton, thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Greg Braxton, a staff writer for the Los Angeles Times, with us from Marketplace Studios in Los Angeles. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.